The connection on the way next, brought to you this morning by Tallgrass Motors and by Advanced Orthopedics of Oklahoma.
Is it time to start thinking about a new car? But the thought of dealing with the large dealerships is just too intimidating, too confusing? There is an easier way. Tallgrass Motors. Tallgrass Motors doesn't play all the confusing games the large dealerships play. Tallgrass Motors has continually been voted Bartlesville's best used car dealer year after year. Go by Tallgrass Motors today and enjoy looking at over 60 used cars, trucks, and SUVs, all priced to save you money. Tallgrass Motors, Highway 75 North in Bartlesville.
AM 1400 and 93.3 FM K1 and focusing on, emergency management and into fill us in. I'm going to start with, as far as I know, the premier emergency manager in the state, Kerry Cox. Thanks for coming in this morning, Kerry.
Good morning, Charlie.
You are, I know, busy not only locally doing what you do here, but you're called upon frequently to provide training for others who are much newer in your profession.
Yeah, I've been spending a lot of time lately doing training not only here, but around the area in different parts of the state. And like I say, just trying to make sure that we've got all of our folks statewide trained up, ready to go.
Well, and the unfortunate thing, or maybe the good thing about it, is disasters are not confined to a municipality or a county. They typically are a long line streaming from, let's say, from Stroud to Joplin or something.
Yeah, and we're very fortunate here in Oklahoma that all of our jurisdictions, our county, city stuff, all band together, work together, and help each other.
And so that you coordinate back and forth, and I know that many of the area departments have a common frequency, so that if you're out on a either real or training disaster, you're out there talking to back and forth with each other to Bartlesville Fire, Dewey Fire, and many of the departments that come in and work together on those things.
Absolutely.
Just a coordination effort, whether it's a tabletop exercise or actually getting things done, like an exercise you had recently out at the airport.
Yeah.
Coordination is, as I see it, half the project. If the different levels of management are talking to each other, you probably can get something done.
Absolutely, and that's one of the things we work on, here locally and regionally as well, is opening those lines of communications, making sure that we can communicate with each other and that we are doing that and coordinating in our efforts, whether it's a fire response or some other type of emergency.
Yeah. Looking at the cold weather this weekend, some homes are new and are built to standards that say whether the home was built here or in Michigan or any place else, the levels of insulation in the homes are energy efficient. Mm-hmm. But we've got a lot of homes that were built in the 40s, 50s, or even earlier that typically gas was cheap. We didn't have to worry about how much it cost us because it was still going to be cheap. They didn't put today's level of insulation in those older homes, and people look to supplement some of those systems sometimes.
Yeah, and that's a good reminder with this cold snap that's coming in this weekend, is if folks are using alternate heating sources, make sure they're using those as their as the instructions say, and be cautious with those. Make sure the ventilation is well maintained. And just be very careful. There's some pretty cold air coming in this weekend.
It really is, with single digits, and that means wind chills probably below zero at times. So it probably won't last all that long, but people are going to be just straining their systems to stay comfortable.
Yeah.
Space heaters, whether they're electric or gas, special precautions, whether it's wire size and how many outlets are you stringing together to get this thing done, and then also ventilation if it's, I don't care, kerosene or whatever based, right?
Yeah, and Charlie, you brought up a really good point. That's one of the common mistakes that we see, folks using electric heaters and plugging those into extension cords or into those larger bus bar type extension cords. They're just not designed for that, and that's a real easy way to have a malfunction and cause a devastating fire.
And whether it's unless it's maybe here in the city of Bartlesville, we're talking about one house fire, we have a full-time staff, but when it happens elsewhere in the county, that's when you get involved.
Yes, and that's those house fires, when we have these frigid temperatures like this, just really complicate an already bad situation.
Well, if you're looking at freezing temperatures, that means that that's, we measure it by water freezing. If you're out there trying to fight a fire, the small droplets that to just create that mist in the air, you've got an ice mist after a while.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So again, people need to be careful, be aware of what they're doing. And I know a few years ago we had a time that people were getting generators and trying to hook them up just for alternate sources of power because it was a long snap of sub-zero temperatures, even a record that we set a few years ago. Electrical safety, that's a problem. And again, it's not something you directly get involved in, but you teach safety all the time.
We do, and we want to make sure that folks are safe with everything they do. If they've got generators that they're using, we're not expecting any power outages with this storm. But again, if they have those backup generators or emergency generators, make sure that they're properly installed and hooked up properly by a licensed electrician, so that we make sure that they're going to operate the way they're intended and not create any additional problems.
April, May, June, storm season around here. We do get tornadoes. We have seen them 12 months out of the year, but those are the months we expect to see them, right?
Yes, that is true.
Your spotters are out, thankfully. You are a great resource for us when we're trying to inform the citizens of what's going on. It's been a partnership we've cherished for a long time. But your spotters recently went through some training, and I know that some of that training is open to the public. If people get an opportunity to go through one of those courses, is it worthwhile?
Oh, absolutely. We do it annually here, and typically it's the last Saturday in February. National Weather Service Tulsa will come up and do the presentation. It's on weather safety as well as spotter training for our spotters. It's about a three-hour session. It is open to the public and some very good information that's provided there.
And I believe there are sessions that are still scheduled. I know Osage County has theirs coming up fairly soon.
Yes.
I don't know about Nowata County, but there is one typically that's held there.
There is. And they can go to the National Weather Service Tulsa webpage, and there's a link on there that shows where all of the different spotter and weather safety talks are being presented around this entire area.
Yeah. What do you look for if people? And I realize that when you're out, it's probably dark. You not the best visibility typically.
Yes.
But again, for those that are just rely on the fact that you guys are out and they're not out in their backyard trying to see what's going on. And if something's coming, please don't. But what do you look for? Is it a cloud formation or activity in a certain cloud?
It is, and you bring up an interesting point. Those nighttime storms are very hard to do spotter training on or spotter operations because we have to use backlighting from lightning flashes and things like that a lot of times to be able to identify those. So we're very dependent on a mix of sources, and we use a lot of technology, watching radar data, and that's the reason we staff our Emergency Operations Center. Melissa, that's here with me today, she's one of those that works in the Emergency Operations Center when we activate with our radar operators. And so they're looking at that radar data and trying to advise the spotters where they need to position so that they can get the best view and hopefully get that opportunity to have a little bit of backlighting and be able to see that storm and get that eyes on.
Yeah. So, Melissa, you're back at headquarters providing command and control operations so that everybody else is informed on what's going on and how to redeploy, right?
Yes, yes. And we're trying to position our spotters based on what we're seeing on the radar and what the information we're receiving from other spotters, position them in safe areas so where we don't want to get anybody caught up in anything that they can't, you know, get out of. So we just try to keep track of where everybody is and what's going on.
And that's, again, that's something that it's nice to have the same spotting crews out that go to those more or less the same locations that are familiar that when something is coming in. There are certain storm tracks that, I mean, there's nothing to say it always does it, but typically you expect the storm to come over Radar Hill, or you expect to see it come from the casino or places like that, right?
Yes, and we have certain spotters who are really more comfortable in certain areas. They know the area very well. It's where they like to go. So that helps us having them where they're comfortable and where they know the ins and outs of.
Okay. We are talking emergency preparations, emergency management this morning on K1. We'll take a short break and continue with results of a recent project Melissa was working on when we continue in just a moment.
Announcing the new Advanced Orthopedics of Oklahoma. Two of Oklahoma's premier orthopedic experts, Central State Orthopedics and Eastern Oklahoma Orthopedic Center, EOC, have now merged to become Oklahoma's premier orthopedic healthcare expert, Advanced Orthopedics of Oklahoma, PLLC. So if you're in need of back surgery, knee or hip replacement, call the specialist at Advanced Orthopedics of Oklahoma, 918-494-9300. Advanced Orthopedics of Oklahoma now offers the best orthopedic care in the state. And I should know, it's where I had my back surgery. So whether you're in need of back surgery, hip or knee replacement, trust your happiness to Advanced Orthopedics of Oklahoma, located in the Natalie Building at 65th and Yale. Call 918-494-9300. Advanced Orthopedics of Oklahoma.
Continuing a community connection on 1400 K1, and Melissa, before we went on the air, I got just enough of the basics of a project that you were working on to say, I'm not sure you have it all wrapped up, but can you tell us a little bit about what you've been trying to tabulate some data on for it?
Sure. Almost two years ago, we started a individual safe room rebate program here in Washington County. Mm-hmm. We were approved for this project, and the total project cost that we were approved for was $184,000. That was enough to fund rebates on 92 shelters for the residents of Washington County. These are individual, either above ground, below ground, safe rooms in homes for our residents. To date, we've paid out over $139,000 in rebates to our residents. We've installed 71 shelters have been installed, so we've got just a few more to go to wrap all this up. And then we're hoping to get enough interest to maybe do this again. We really feel that this is a beneficial program for our residents. We have a lot of people who had wanted to get a safe room for a while, didn't think that, you know, it was financially feasible for them with this rebate program. They were able to do that.
And I think that's what makes it, the reason the rebate program is out there is try to make safety affordable for people, right?
Yes, yes. And this program will reimburse 75% of the cost of a safe room or storm shelter up to $2,000. So it really makes a safe room affordable.
And I will mention that there is a safe room business that is part of our Farm and Home show this weekend up mm-hmm. in Coffeyville. One reason for people to go up to Nellis Hall and see what's going on. But there are several safe room companies around. If I started naming, I would leave somebody out, so I'm not going to do it. But you probably have a list of vendors that are eligible, right?
If you go to, we recommend people go to the Oklahoma, I think it was Oklahoma Storm Shelter Association. They have a list online of vendors who all their shelters meet the FEMA specifications, which, you know, that means that the hinges and the doors and everything meet the specifications for their safety.
If you meet that spec, they're eager to tell you we meet the
yes,
spec.
Yes, yes. They've gone through the testing and they've got their certification.
And they frequently will haul out the certification paper that says see right here, black and white.
Yes.
Because it's a tough standard to meet.
Yes, it is.
And I think that's actually required, isn't it,
as part of this rebate program. Your shelter has to meet FEMA specifications.
And that grant would be, or could be used to cover either the purchase or installation of the...
Yeah, typically it's both. It's 75% of the combined mm-hmm. of that.
Okay, so again, if somebody is interested in that, they can first stop by, give you guys a call. If they don't know people, your office is located on the side of the former Walmart administration building.
Yes.
Charlie, another thing too, we've had a lot of folks ask us, if we are going to do this grant again, how can they find out about it? And just like we did with this one, like Melissa and Eric went and held several like town hall type
yes.
meetings,
mm-hmm.
but we'll also advertise that information with you guys here on the radio station, as well as the newspaper, local television, our Facebook page.
Mm-hmm.
If we have this grant available again, Trust me, we will be yelling from the top of the mountains to let everybody know that this is available.
Because community participation is one of the requirements for us to get this grant. Mm-hmm. So we will advertise as much as we can because we need the community's involvement to be able to get these funds.
If somebody has installed a safe room, then you need to know about it.
Yeah.
Yes. We have a safe room, a storm shelter registration program here. We keep a database of everyone's safe rooms for in case something does happen. We don't want anything to happen, but if it does and there's a chance that you might not be able to get out of your safe room, we will be able to find where you're at and get you out.
Those safe rooms are all designed for what should be easy access, but stuff happens.
Yes. Yeah.
That's the business you're in. You're in the mm-hmm. stuff happens business.
Yep. Yeah.
And Charlie, we might recommend that this safe room registration is a voluntary program.
Yes.
And you don't have to be part of the grant program in order to register your safe room. So even if you've got a basement that was pre-existing or a storm cellar or safe room that you've put in yourself, or even your designated shelter space is under the stairway, mm-hmm. You can register that with us on this voluntary program, and it gets put in our mapping system to where if a storm comes through and you happen to be in that debris path that's identified, then the software that we use will bring all of your information to the top, and we can go out and make sure that you're not trapped in that safe spot.
If people have seen, I don't care, photos or have visited an area where a tornado has gone through, if you drove through Joplin a number of years ago, you'll see what happened, mm-hmm. and congratulations mm-hmm. to Joplin. They have rebuilt.
It was
a big devastation.
Mm-hmm.
You cooperate with other agencies, area fire departments, Red Cross, just on situations like that where it becomes a, if you want to call it search and rescue, mm-hmm. or just after actions cleanup mm-hmm. to survey the area and see what went on.
Yeah, absolutely. We always go out and do those damage assessments just to see where that damage area is and look for the extent of that damage.
I know you always need volunteers because there are always people who are either moving or just aging out and don't feel like they want to participate anymore. You train people to do the jobs that you need, right?
Well, we do. And you mentioned something earlier, Charlie, about the spotters, and Melissa was talking about it as well, getting those folks that know the particular area where they go out to spot. So there's a lot of experience based here. It's not just the technical training. Mm-hmm. So we do train those folks, but then they also will undergo a period of on-the-job training, if you will, where we will match them up with some of our veteran folks so that they can gain that experience, because that experience is just as valuable as the technical training that we give them to do that job.
Fire season is coming upon us. I know they're... always efforts for controlled burns, mm-hmm. and you're there to act as authority to say, okay, burn ban has been issued for this area. You let us know about it in case we mm-hmm. didn't already know about it. But this is becoming on fire season. Again, people just need to be careful with dry tinder.
Absolutely, and our fire season's going to be a little different this year. It's been fairly dry the last few years, and so we have had a lot of issues, if you will, with wildfire. It's been pretty wet this year, so that's a difference. And folks tend to think that, well, there's not going to be near the fire danger because it is so wet. That can be somewhat true, but those dormant grasses and those dead fuels that are out there don't tend to absorb moisture as well as live grasses, and they dry out a lot quicker. So we've got a lot of vegetation out there, so very heavy fuel load is what we refer to it as. So that fire potential is still there. The only difference is this year we're probably going to fight fire in the mud. But those dormant fuels, those dead fuels, will still dry out very quickly and burn very readily, and they are very abundant. So we still have a pretty high wildfire potential this year.
I know there are procedures in place that people in your business like to be notified on a controlled burn, but people probably forget about that. If someone... and I is planning it, and I'm sure many mm-hmm. landowners will if they're rural areas. But again, are there procedures that they should notify you?
There are, and that's a very good point. It's actually in state statute. It is a law that if you're going to do a prescribed burn or a controlled burn on your property, you are required by law to notify the local fire department. So whatever fire department jurisdiction that you live in or that you're doing this burn in, you have to notify them in advance of doing your controlled burn or your prescribed burn. Then you also have to have a written burn plan, and you have to have the means and the ability to control that fire at all times. And that's just some of the recommendations that are in the state statute.
Okay, so again, check with emergency management or your local fire department before that.
Yes, sir.
If somebody wants to volunteer, if they say, you know, I've always wanted to go storm spotting, and for the first time, it's fun. After that, I think it becomes work. But
yes.
If it was the first time, it can be fun. How do they get a hold of you?
Best ways to drop by our office. We've considered putting that application online, but we've just never quite gotten around to doing that or coming up with exact protocols on how we would like to do that. And one reason for that is we'd like to meet these people face-to-face. So we would really like for them to come by our office. I know that's not always convenient to come by during the work week, but they'll come by the office, talk to either myself or to Melissa. We'll give them an application form. It's a two-page form. They can fill that out. Then they can email it in or bring it back by or mail it to us. And it will go into a process. There is a process that we have for vetting those volunteers and matching people up with the right job. Because there's a lot of other things that we do besides storm spotting, as you've mentioned. And some folks are interested in one part of what we do and not the other, or maybe both. So we try to match those folks up, and there's a vetting process. And it's really a hiring process, even though they're volunteers.
Mm-hmm, it is. There's an interview.
Yeah, there's process. A face-to-face interview process. And it's not a speedy process because it's typically Melissa and I are the only ones doing that. Mm-hmm. And with our other duties, as we have time, we will go through that. And again, as we have openings on our roster, because we're only allowed to carry a certain number of volunteers on that roster.
Okay. So again, touch base with emergency management. You'll find their numbers listed online, among other places.
Yes.
Melissa, Carrie, thank you so much for coming in this morning. I hope it's been informative for the public. And
thank you.
If you are interested in that grant, please give Melissa a call. That's a Community Connection brought to you on AM 1400 K1 by Advanced Orthopedics and also by Tallgrass Motors. Our forecast again calls for mostly cloudy today. We'll see a high temperature around 44 degrees, 27 at AM 1400, 93.3 FM K1. Your items to buy, sell, trade, or give away coming up next hour. The Overcomers coming up next, brought to you by Brian Little, Haley and Kent, CPA.
Hi, I'm Todd Nettleton, and this is the Voice of the Martyrs Radio.